where I wasn't prepared to do this tonight, as clearly we see, because it's 11:30, an hour past my recording time, when I'm supposed to be getting in bed right now. And I have to be to work at 7 at 5:30.
You're such a grandpa.
Well, yes, I am. And there's nothing wrong with that, because grandpa still got what? Real pussy.
Oh my God. I'm not starting this with you today. All right.
How about you get the fuck out? How about you get the fuck out? How about you get the fuck out?
So, welcome
to, go ahead and introduce us.
Sorry.
Welcome to Politically Uncensored with me, Zakori Uncensored, and my problematic fave, Spicy underscore Mustard.
Boop, 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 boop. Drum rock in the house tonight.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for that.
This is my energy to keep me awake. Sorry, guys.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you have something. I should have had coffee, but I didn't, so.
Look, this is late night, 11:30 p.m. over on the West Coast. He's sitting at 8:30 on the West Coast.
All right, guys, welcome to Politically Uncensored After Dark.
Yes, After Dark. Look, I'm giving you BET Uncensored over here on the East Coast town.
What time did BET Uncensored start?
It used to come on around this time, too. Yes, it's like around 11:30 or 12.
Wow. You've been a freak, ho.
I have.
Oh, so, my gosh.
It was born in me. What can I say? I came from a line of well freak hoes out there.
Oh, my gosh. So, are you calling your grandma a whore, basically?
I'm not calling her a whore. Because none of us are whores. We just all explorative. Natures of being. Who thrive in sexual areas.
A long generation of hoes, basically, guys. All right. Girl, well, that's awesome. Speaking of which, my grandma called me, like, yesterday with my mom on three-way and wanted to tell me some joke. And I'm like, where did this come from? And she resumes to tell me that basically it's a joke that one of her uncles used to tell them, because he used to be he used to like do riddles. It was a riddle of some sort.
Come on,
like I don't know. And I'm thinking, like, why are we passing down jokes from generations? Where's the money? Okay, where's the generational wealth? Okay,
could have been a generational wealth joke, baby. That brought laughs. Look, they say laughter heals the heart.
No. Well, listen, he should have passed down some coins, okay? But that's just what it reminded me of.
Don't be greedy.
All right, guys, so welcome back. I know, like, you guys have missed us. We've missed you. We've been dealing with life and things. And
she's been a bitch.
Indeed, a fun bitch.
Yeah.
A fun bitch.
Well, all right. I say fun because I did just kind of from L.A., so, yeah, she's been a fun bitch.
Whoop, whoop. I know, right? So, Dijon was recently here just last weekend.
Yeah.
Dirt.
Did
you enjoy your visit, at least?
No, I enjoyed my visit. Like, again, I know all my people are very chill. So the weekend was very chill. And again, it was definitely what I needed, because as you know, I have road rage. So dealing with y'all traffic was bad. So, like, I can only imagine if we had actually went out and done more stuff, I'd probably been more agitated, especially since, you know, I wasn't lifted the whole trip. But, you know.
Oh, my God. I felt like you were lifted most of the trip.
Was I?
You would, indeed. And it's crazy because I just had friends visit this weekend as well. And actually, I wanted to let everyone know, stop coming to visit. Actually, this is a PSA. PSA, stop coming to visit, okay? Wow. That's what I want to let everyone know. Family members, friends, boyfriends, side niggas.
Boyfriends.
You know, whatever. Nobody can come visit, okay? I am so exhausted. I'm a horrible host, if you didn't know. Like, I'm so not used to hosting people.
But when I was there, you did a great job. Look, I got you together.
You got me together. Yeah, we worked it out, you know.
Look.
And it was...
You, sister.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. What slogan is that? Is it in you? Isn't that like a slogan of some sort?
I think it's just do it.
No, it's one called is it in you? Is it Gatorade? I think it's Gatorade.
Sounds like a... I ain't gonna go there.
You wouldn't go there already. Okay. Well, it's not a lube company.
No. It sounds like a Trojan ad to me, but...
It sounds appropriate.
But maybe however, some of the listening, they can let us know.
Let us know. Tweet us. Tweet me, at least. I don't think Deshaun's very active on Twitter.
I'm too old. I don't be on Twitter.
Twitter is my shit. Like, I've been ranting on Twitter a lot recently. If you want some gems, guys, tune into my Twitter. It's usually just me just speaking what's on my mind. Random shit that the world has me thinking. But yeah, so you had a great visit. It was fun having you out.
Yes.
I can't believe you said that, you know, it was chill though. We didn't do anything. I actually forced myself to go out one night to the club.
Oh, well
because you were here.
That night was fun because that stripper was bomb.
The stripper was bomb. The girls were throwing drinks and ice cubes at me. I don't know who's out to get me in LA.
They were trying to kill me.
But I felt plotted on. And I don't know what, you know, what to think of this. But I just know they're trying to kill your favorite bitch. And I just don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate it. Like, I felt targeted. Like, literally, someone's drink came flying and hit, ice hit me in the head. And then another time during the event. Another time during the event, I saw like a cup or something come flying my way, and my friends are like, "Is someone after you?" And I'm like, "I don't know, but I don't think so. I don't know
inside I was on.
I don't know anyone here. I don't think I've made enemies already.
Because that cup did come my way. Because I remember, because I was having a good time. I had to stop for a second and say, "Hold the fuck up now."
Look, yeah, like I don't know anyone here. I shouldn't have any enemies. Like I'm very, very like chill. No,
I just came here to dance. That's all.
Pretty much. Okay. Well, okay.
I know we're supposed to get into the Emmys, but and I know our people hate when we go into little side tangents, but it wasn't on our agenda, but I feel like I just have to speak on this episode of Insecure. Tell me you saw the song.
Oh my gosh, no, I haven't seen the new episode, so you can't talk about it.
Oh my God, you can't.
What's today?
Huh?
What's today? Today's Monday, right?
Yes, it came on yesterday. Look, where
have you been? Oh, see? Yeah. Okay. Listen, I told you I was hosting all weekend. My friends, I just dropped them off at the airport today, okay, to go home.
They didn't want to sit in the house like I want to do. Because, girl, I don't think you sit in the house.
Really. Well, they wanted to go out last night, but luckily they changed their mind. And I'm told that friend that's just like always waiting for someone to cancel the plans. So I can be like, dang, really wanted to go. But yeah, they changed their mind. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes. So no, they were chill, but literally all they wanted to do was smoke. And you already know that I'm not the smoker and I'm not the drinker and I'm not the partier. So tell me why they left me with all this shit. Like literally a big ass... They left me with this bag of edible gummy worms.
Yeah.
It's like unopened. Like, I'm like, what am I gonna do with this? And they left me with two pre-rolled blunts from the actual dispensary.
You better have a good night at the pool and just lay out and chill.
See, it's not my thing though. That will literally last me for like 2 years if I was to actually indulge.
Yes, girl, maybe 2 weeks at best.
I'm not a smoker. I can't fuck with it, okay? And I haven't been doing it, and I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. It's not my drug of choice. It doesn't, my body chemistry does not agree with it, so I don't know what to tell you.
You know, hey, to each of his own. But damn, I imagine that's the Insecure. I was so ready to, because when I tell you this, I saw myself with everybody on that episode last night. I was like, Issa, y'all better do this.
Okay, well, I'll probably actually watch it tonight once we're done recording and chill and, like, yeah, get my mind.
The worst thing to do things, girl.
Well, I'm sorry my life is just a mess right now, but thanks for being a supportive friend.
Let me lift up my sister in her time of need. You are uplifted and uprooted.
Well, thank you, Iyanla. Basically,
I was like, Iyanla, thank you. You know, I'll be trying.
Yeah, that's what he gave me. Yes, beloved. So basically, I guess we can dive into the Emmys since it's like the only thing I know that's going on right now. And it's crazy because, you know, I had to go look all this up because, as you know, like I've been kind of disconnected from social media and pop culture for the time being. It's been a lot. y'all are exhausting. But I went and looked up a few of the things. I know you wanted to discuss some of your favorite red carpet looks at the Emmys.
Yes.
So we can go ahead and dive into that. Like, who wore it best?
Well, in my personal opinion, of course, hands down, I have to give it to Tracee Ellis because her and Valentino, she looked amazing. Just
love. She was just also one of my favorites. I adore her. So
a timeless piece that I would never let go to waste, Tracee. But then also, I have to, again, go with my girl Issa. You know, just in the words of her, I'm just rooting for all my Black people right now.
Right.
She looked gorgeous because, again, like, I just love her skin tone. And then she had that little powder blue Vera Wang, like, jumpsuit, but it had, like, a little dress train as well. I'm like, that was gorgeous to me. And then, again, also just giving me, like, full, like, I guess, retro Hollywood, but in a modern way, was Angela Serafin. And my favorite designer from Project Runway, Christian Siriano. I'm like, to see how he has come such a long way.
It's crazy because you brought up Christian Siriano because I was looking and apparently Leslie Jones was wearing Christian Siriano as well.
Yes.
And you know, like when she was emerged onto the scene in like Ghostbusters, I guess, it was a huge thing in the media where no designers wanted to dress her for the red carpet.
Yeah.
And Christian Siriano was the one that volunteered to dress her. So now I'm wondering if she only wears Christian Siriano though. Like, I'm not sure, I don't keep up with her like that, yeah. But I
wouldn't blame her if she did.
Like, I mean, yeah.
Girl, show respect to him because he, you know, I don't say looked out for you because I don't want to make it seem like that, but you know.
Yeah, it was a charity case.
Well, like, he respected her enough to say, like, no, you're still beautiful enough to still wear anything designer. So I'm like, well, good job to him for that.
I mean, good job for him for that, but that was interesting to me that no one else wanted to dress her. But I don't know. I don't think it's because she's not attractive.
It's just people's ignorance.
So were the designers literally saying she's ugly, I won't dress her?
Well, girl, I wasn't in their boardroom meetings, but but if she said that or if she feels that way, I'm saying her feelings are valid. And again, if none of them have come out to say or speak against it, well, girl, there must be some truth to it.
I don't know if I agree with that. Just because they didn't want to dress you does not mean they did not find you attractive. And maybe because you don't feel attractive, that's not their reason for it.
But then why didn't they speak on it?
I don't know. There's plenty of unattractive people in Hollywood. Nope, never mind. There aren't. So, okay. Well.
There are. Let's not retract that. There are.
Name one.
A lot of botched ones.
Wow. Okay. But also, I wanted to say I thought Ricky Martin looked really good. And Ricky Martin is
sexy.
So sexy. And like, isn't he like openly out? And yeah, just, isn't he married?
Because like,
I thought he's married. Ugh.
Yeah, they look
he's
good together.
Beautiful.
Oh, well, then, yeah. Well, if we're speaking about that, I also did have top men as well.
Did you?
Yeah, I had my top three favorite men looks. You know, well, one is kind of a collective compared to the other two.
What's a collective? Are they trans?
No, the one collective was just the Queer Eye cast. Because again, I couldn't just do them individually. Because of course, I'm saying they're the gays.
Oh my god.
Of course, we're gonna look good whenever we show up anywhere. But
are we?
A 99.9% of the time, like you know how antibacterial soap got that little 0.1% that I was an actor, you know, that's generally how it is. But you know, so shout outs to them. But then again, also, and again, this is my two white male crushes that I love so much. Mm-hmm. One, Darian, I can never pronounce his last name, but Chris, I believe it is. He was wearing Giorgio Armani for the Emmys, and because I think he was nominated for an award for the assassination of Gianni Versace, which he did really good in that, by the way. And then also, this white man, he just looks, he was just the sexiest older man with his little silver fox going on. But Nicolas Coster, who plays in, well, I don't know if you watch Game of Thrones, but I love that show. He plays in that, and he was wearing Eidos. Like, he looked good. It was like a burnt orange velvet blazer and like tuxedo pant with it. It was just, I could eat him up.
Okay. All right. And your third one? Oh, was that third?
I said the Queer Eye cast was the collective. That was the first one.
Oh, okay.
Pay attention.
I was trying to follow. Okay. Awesome. Yeah.
What,
yes.
Kenya.
To freedom. So basically, that's awesome. Speaking of the Queer Eye cast, though, like, Anfernee is my favorite. I want to say it's Anthony. He's the one that is like the cooking specialist on the show.
Anthony?
Queer Eye. Anthony. Did I say Anthony? No, or I said Anthony.
Anthony. I'm like, girl, what F?
You know what? I knew there was like Anthony, but it was like something distinct about it that was different. So it's Anthony.
Yeah, but he is.
I love him. Either way, he's beautiful. And he's like so emotional on most of the episodes. It's just like, he's beautiful.
He's like the perfect little butch queen trade. Like,
I love him. Oh, he's so cute. I love on the episode of like the religious episode, he was up like so hysterical. I love hysterical.
That episode. Him and Bobby, they're really good on that episode. Well, not really good.
Yeah.
Their emotions were like,
Yeah.
But no, then also
I love the show.
Well, who even what was his name? Jonathan. Even he was like, I love how he is just so androgynous with his looks. I'm like, he's my spirit animal.
Yeah, he's hilarious. I think, like, oh, yeah, he's one of my favorites on the show, but I like Anthony the best. And second would be Karamo, but yes. I couldn't with Karamo on the red carpet giving me Hogwarts. Baby. And I couldn't, I couldn't take him serious with the poncho.
Karamo be giving you rich white woman, and y'all will not be mad at him for that. Look.
Listen, I'm sure that's intentional as well.
Look, Karamo said he is giving you, what's her name? From what is that movie from Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
Mary Poppins.
Yes, he can give you Mary Poppins tease.
Listen, I'm sure that's intentional. Karamo, I love him. I do. I like that he represents like an articulate, passionate black gay male. But you know, he's problematic in some ways. So, but we won't go there. I didn't care for the outfit. I didn't care for the outfit though, and I love him though, he's beautiful. But I was watching Queer Eye with some of my friends because I was like putting them onto the show because I love it, and they were just, one of them kept pointing out his Beijing beard and the fact that he was caked on the show.
Beard.
I mean, he is caked. He is like, I mean, all of them I'm sure have makeup on, but they need to find his color. Okay. This is why we need people of color on the cast and behind the scenes, making sure that they're matching him correctly.
Oh, look, because maybe he asked for that. You know, some of the girls want a good highlight. So look, maybe he asked for a good, he said, highlight and bronze, please.
I love them. Anyway, shout outs to the cast of Queer Eye also with winning their 3 Emmys, which is like dope. I love the show. Anybody who knows me personally, I'm always like an advocate for it, and I'm always like putting people onto it. Groundbreaking. I'm just happy we're at a time where now people of the LGBT community are now being able to, our voices are kind of being heard a lot from like shows like Pose to Queer Eye, and like now having like producers like Lena Waithe and like pretty much giving us our voices. And I feel like there's a time that people are now open to listening to us is now. So I think that's awesome. And yeah, I love the show.
Our voices matter, people.
Vote in November. That was our PSA.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Okay, was there anything else specifically about the Emmys that you wanted to go over? Because I really didn't watch the actual awards show.
I just also had to give her, again, just because, again, she looked good, but she wasn't in my top 3 for her favorite looks. But Regina King for getting her Emmy for Best Supporting Actress in a limited series. Like, Regina King is about like Angela Bassett. They have been in this game for a long motherfucking time, and they have never gotten their praise. And it's like, it's like, just the way that she reacted was like, damn. Like, the baby didn't even know to get up out of her seat, because like, she just didn't know she was going to get the award. And I was just so happy for her, because like, I'm glad you're getting your flowers, girl, because it's been a long, again, motherfucking time.
I mean, yes. So shout out to her. That's awesome.
Shout outs to Regina King, because I fucked with her way back when she was, what's the movie? Boys in the Hood. Just when she was giving me Ghetto Fish to now, she giving me Emmy winning award actress. I love it.
Yes, I've never seen Boys in the Hood, but okay, cool.
Well, I forget. You don't come from a past of watching historically credited black movies.
That's not true.
You haven't seen The Color Purple.
I have not watched the movie in its entirety, no.
Girl, so
I didn't know that was on the list. I asked my friends to write out a list of the like classic black films that I guess I should watch, right? Have like I have Boomerang? To watch. No. But also, like, I feel like some of these are before my time. I've seen Life. I have. And I also have seen Save the Last Dance, and I've seen Friday. And I've seen...
Have you seen Set... You've at least seen Set It Off all the way, haven't you?
I have seen Set It Off.
All the way?
What do you mean all the way? What do you mean?
All the way through, because you just
said... Yeah, I've watched the movie. I watched it. I do not care for gangster movies, though, to be honest. And I don't care for movies that... I don't care for movies that depict Black people in only a certain way. No, I've never seen Juice.
Oh, my God.
And I don't like watching slave movies, either. I don't like seeing Black people just depicted in that way, like violent enslaved.
But it's part of our history, so you have to be cognizant of it.
Okay, I'm cognizant of it, but I don't...
Because, again, that's how we're going to get... Well, I'm saying, that's how we get platforms. I'm saying those may not be the way you want it to be, but...
Sorry. Oh, wait. Well, I think I can have a preference, and my preference is not to...
You know what?
Black people depicted in that way, and that's all.
You're right.
But, yeah, so shout-outs to, you know, all the movies. Okay. You know what? And I don't think I can sit there and watch some of the movies either. Like, I'm very picky about, like, what I like to watch anyways.
Really?
And I can't... Yeah, I can't just sit there and watch something that I'm completely not interested in or just, like, just because I'm supposed to like it. Like, I can get halfway through a film and be like, I don't think I'm going to like this. And, like, with some of those movies, I don't think I'm going to like Boys in the Hood. Like, no, I don't think that I'm going to like it.
I think you would. Look, let me sit down and watch it with you. We'll have a good time watching together over some seat.
I think I'll be uncomfortable.
LA, smoking a blunt to Boys in the Hood and watching it in L.A. That'd have been very very non-fictional. Like,
I don't want to see Black people being killed and by each other.
Was killed in Boys in the Hood. And what? Well, you only see one person get killed.
Oh, okay.
And that's at the end of the film. And that was Morris Chestnut. And it was so sad. A chocolate brother like himself getting shot up like that.
Well, thanks for the spoiler. Oh my gosh. Okay, so maybe we will, maybe we'll watch those movies and we'll do a review for those of you who have not seen them as well. Because I'm sure I'm not the only one.
I'm sure there's quite a few out there. But The Color Purple, though, that's just what you just totally lost me at. But we definitely got to watch that first.
I feel like some of these movies are too old for me, too.
The Color Purple is a classic. Look. What'd she say? I'm poor, I'm black, I may be ugly, but dear God, I'm here.
This sounds horrible. You know certain movies.
Every time I hear it.
Oh, I thought the iconic line was like, Harpo beat me or something. I love Harpos to death, but I'll kill him dead before I let him beat me.
Well, that is iconic for Oprah. But look, Whoopi.
Oh, that was Oprah?
Yes, that was Whoopi's. I mean, that was Oprah's part.
Okay. See, certain movies, you know, like when you're younger that you may have seen, but not really seen them fully in its entirety. So I remember watching Forrest Gump, right, when I was younger and not really knowing what was going on. And then I remember watching it like last year sometime, like as a full-ass adult and being so horrified. I was like, why do people like this movie? It was awful. He was clearly had a disability. He was someone, they were making fun of his mental illness. They were like, it was an awful fucking film. Like, who would want to watch this?
Well, you know,
it was a shitty fucking story. The story was shitty as fuck. And then she died at the end from AIDS. Like, it was awful. Who would enjoy watching this? Some of you people are sick. This is not the kind of movies I like to watch.
Oh, wow.
I was so upset.
Feel that way. I love Forrest Gump. That's a great movie.
Why do you like traumas?
It's not a trauma. It's a classic superhero story. But again, it's a superhero story for, well, at least how I see it. It's a superhero story of somebody who they said couldn't ever be a hero. Somebody who was, well, technically, the guy should be black. Male and
dog. Oh my gosh.
But
No, because then I feel like people would be offended by that. Like radio, right? Weren't they upset about radio?
But again, I'm just speaking on if this is the character that they truly want. But again, this is true to what Hollywood does, though. I'm saying, so again, ain't no
shit. Well, they did radio.
Hollywood does, but again, what's his name? Who stars this? Tom Hanks. He's top actor. Of course, they're going to put him up there before they put a Sidney Poitier. Just saying, it's honesty. But
they used Cuban Gooding Jr. in Radio. Isn't it like radio? Was it Cuban Gooding Jr.
And radio? And radio, but again, how long was radio after that movie? I'm not even
a movie watcher.
It has taken America time to get to where we are to accept certain things. So again, no shade in it. It just is what it is.
Okay, so now America accepts mentally ill Black people.
Well, that's what radio was.
Yeah. Again,
another superhero story. Overcame adversity, and again, people still looked up to them as, like, you know.
I don't think I really watched that movie either. Like, I remember, like, kind of watching it. I don't think it's fun to, like, I don't like watching traumas. I think that's what it is, honestly. I don't like watching traumas.
But again, I don't see it for the trauma, though. Well, I guess you do. So, again, respecting that fact. But why do you look at it just in a traumatic way? Why don't you look at it for, again, we all recognize that is a trauma story, but that, again, is also what makes us, I guess, as human beings, like, you want to, you know, sympathize, and again, be more sympathetic, be more compassionate to those people, not just look at it as like, oh, let me not watch out of fear of their making them look crazy, but out of fear and be more sympathetic to these people and compassionate.
I think that you can be aware of these things. I'm aware of all of these things that exist, and I empathize for people who are in those situations. However, I don't want to watch it. I think that, I mean, maybe it is like, it'll get more of like a front row seat to the reality, but it makes me uncomfortable to watch. And I don't think that's anything, like, I'm sure I'm not the only
one.
But
let me be devil's advocate when I say this and say, well, do you realize that, like, you know, I guess your non-support for these films, they also ruin the chances for, like, you know, more films about what you want to see to come out. Because again, and again, I know it's about how you break it in the system. But again, that is like a introduction. And again, they're always going to introduce you in a more family cheery way, but then again, that still breaks out as more avenues for them to be like, again, like the movie they just had come out a few years ago with what's her name, Jessica Biel, and the Smile movie with the boy who had, like, again, he was an autistic boy, but he had also like cleft lip. But again, a movie like that would have never been able to be made if a movie like Forrest Gump, I guess, hadn't been accepted. Though again, though it may have had its problematic ways, it still was a way to, again, accept those who are problematic, to, again, accepting or being more comfortable. When I said,
I get what you're trying to say. I personally feel as though these stories do deserve to be told. You're absolutely right. And I think the platform for them to be told is great. I feel uncomfortable watching it, man. I'm one person in the universe. I'm a very small fish in a very large pond. So me being one person,
but
I feel like everyone
else, get out there.
Well, listen, it ain't changing. I feel like at the end of the day, I don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch it. I don't. You, first of all,
stuck with.
You are so extra for this. No, I think that everyone has their things that they like and they care to watch. There's plenty of things I like to watch that you probably don't want to watch. You know how many people I've tried to ask them if they've seen 50 Shades of Grey? Well, congrats. That's you. Congrats to you. And that's awesome. I'm a very open person. First of all, I don't really watch movies like that. I'm not a big movie watcher, so that's in itself. You know, I don't even like going to the movie theater. So that's a personal preference. Girl, I don't.
Put on Kim Kardashian.
No, that's not true. I rarely go to the movies unless it's something I really want to see. The last time I went to the movies was to see 50 Shades. And prior to that, I only been to the movies to see, like, the Hunger Games series. So it would be, like, years at a time before I go to the movies. Because I enjoy movies at home sometimes. Yeah, like, I'm weird with the kind of movies I like to watch. Everyone has the kind of
films. So you like freak films? Hold on. Well, freak film ain't bad, but... You said you don't like problematic situations. And
no, that's not what I said. That's not what I said.
Hunger Games was all problematic and trauma all up and down and through it.
But that's the thing. It's not like it's a... Okay, the type of films that I like to watch are typically... And I think it's really, you know, contradicting to who I am. But a lot of people are shocked. But I love romance films. Like, I'm a huge romance person. Like, I love all that cliche romance bullshit. Like, I love
Mrs. Smith, you like that?
I haven't seen that one.
Girl, you have not seen no movies. Oh my god!
I told you, I'm weird at what I like to watch. Like I like The Vow,
The Romance,
I like The Notebook. I like Dear John. I like like those kind of romance films. Typically romantic comedies, but like romance films. Time Traveler's Wife. I can literally watch anything with Regina Hall in it. No, not Regina Hall. What's her name?
Sound like Netflix and Chill to me.
No, okay. What's her name? The girl, like, she played Regina in Mean Girls.
Oh,
I love her. I can't believe I can't remember her name right now. Like, I can literally watch any movie with her in it.
Hold on, let me go and try to Google this real quick.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna think of it before you say it. Rachel McAdams. Okay.
Oh yeah.
So I can watch anything with Rachel McAdams in it. Yeah. Look, I love her. I can't believe I just had a brain fart and I forgot her name because I literally love all her films. And she typically plays in like super romance movies. So I like all of her movies. And then I like movies that are otherworldly, if that makes sense. Like typically like experimental, like The Hunger Games, Divergent, movies like that where they're almost like experimental, overthrowing the government, all that shit.
Amazing.
Like Maze Runners, I like all of that. Like, I'm really, really intrigued by movies like that. So those are like the two genres of movie I really care to watch. Anything else, like, I don't watch horror movies. I don't watch, I don't really like watching like really traumatic movies that are about killing of people, like, if that makes sense. Hunger Games did have that in it, but you know, I don't know. I liked it. So regardless, we'll you know, have a movie night and we'll watch some of your faves, I guess, because
girl, you need it, because you ain't even seen Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Now that movie is the best romance. Well, that's the kind of relationship I want to have. Look, problematic like that.
That's the set where Angela and Brad, that is the set of the movie where Angela stole Jennifer Nigga and you know, never gave him back.
And now she's trying to give him back now.
Listen, Angela, your goals. Just kidding. But basically, yeah. So that's great. That's all you have about the Emmys, though. Like, yeah, Emmys is the only thing that's happened that you were
I think that was it for me. Just my top favorite list, and then just shout out to Regina. And just again, shout out to all the Black people that won awards that night.
Okay.
Again, rooting for you.
I'm going to branch off into my topic now because I think it kind of is something that it's current, something that is a good segue in general. I cannot deal with people constantly blowing up my phone. It is a huge pet peeve. This is probably why I'm not in a relationship.
That's how you used to be.
That's not true.
It is.
It's not true. So I have a couple pet peeves. One of them is double calling me. I'm changing my topic. I'm taking the other thing out. Double calling me is the quickest way to get cursed out. Like, seriously, I will curse you out if you double call me. Because it frustrates me. I don't know why it strikes my chord. Like, to me, as adults, we all have things going on. If you call me and understand that if I didn't pick up the phone, it's because it's not an opportune time. When you call me back to back, I feel harassed. I feel as now you know that I'm busy and I can't talk right now, and you're now harassing me.
Okay, it could be an emergency.
No, I don't care. I don't care. You know what? It better be an emergency. That's what it is. It better be an emergency. And if I pick up on the second time, it better be an emergency. If it's not, I get so livid because I find that my friends know this about me, and some of them like to go against the grain and do it anyways because they know I don't like it. And a lot of times they'll know I'm ignoring their phone call. Like, you know, I see it and I don't want to answer right now. And so you'll double call me and I feel harassed.
You better feel harassed.
Okay. And then another thing is calling me before 9 a.m. Okay. Uh-huh. Do not call me before 9 a.m. Now, when I was on the East Coast, it used to be 10. But since I moved to the West Coast, I'm like, wow, it's 9. Don't call me before 9. Personally, don't feel like there's anything that any human being should have to talk about before 9 a.m.
A lot.
Like, I don't know. You know what? Me? Not before 9 a.m. I don't know why you would call me before 9. Like, what could you possibly need to talk about that early?
It could be your birthday. Happy birthday, girl. Look.
I'm not picking up, and I'm also like gonna curse you out if you call me that early. All my friends know this. Don't call me that early because it's too early. I'm not a morning person already, okay? I'm not. And since you want to bring up birthdays too, I'm literally gonna do two topics in one. Those are my pet peeves. Birthdays, okay. You know how I feel about birthdays, right? Mm-hmm. I personally think birthdays are the devil. Oh, wow. I think that birthdays are the freaking devil. I feel as though I know plenty of friendships that have ended because of birthdays. Do you agree or not?
Huh?
Are you eating right now?
I'm having a carrot or two. Sorry. A bunny over here.
Are you serious?
I have a carrot. Sorry, I was a little hungry. Sorry, America. If you can forgive Trump, you can forgive me.
Oh my gosh, wow. You would try to find a breed to bring a white man into this. At the end of the day, accountability. You want to switch topics?
We can.
No. So birthdays, I feel, are the devil because I know a lot of friendships who have ended over birthdays. Now, you know how I feel about this because it irks my nerves. People, when it is your birthday, the world does not stop. I don't know if a lot of you grown people, if your family made you feel as though when you were younger, the world stopped when it was your birthday. I'm here to tell you that you've been lied to, much like about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. That is a myth.
There
okay?
Be children listen to this. Don't tell them.
Listen, children, I'm all about realities. It is a myth, okay? The world does not stop on your birthday. Like, it doesn't. And I want to tell you this very early on because I find there's a lot of grown people who don't know this. And it's completely... Y'all are probably mind-fucked right now. But I'm going to give you the truth. It's a myth, okay? The world doesn't stop on your birthday. And I think that it's surprising to me when I see grown people who are, like, acting like children and, like, legit being in their feelings about the day that they were born, okay? Now... I personally have had a couple different issues with friends when surrounding their birthday because I don't play into the whole, I don't play into the rules. I know your birthday, some people feel like, you know, whatever you want to do and like you run everything. It's like your day that everyone has to cater to you. And that's not my reality. Maybe because I also don't take my birthday that serious. But I know plenty of friends who I have gotten into it with around because of their birthdays.
You sound like a Jehovah's Witness.
Well, how so?
Because they don't celebrate birthdays either.
I didn't say I don't celebrate them. I said your birthday is not, the world doesn't stop. That's not what I said. Okay? The world doesn't stop. I just want everyone to understand that.
That don't sound like a celebration.
I feel like a lot of people hold their friends to these unrealistic standards when it's their birthday. And when their friends can't come through or don't want to give in to like the bullshit that they want them to do, they get super hurt and offended, and then they actually use this unspoken of rule that I'm talking about as a way to really like end friendships, or people really will like reevaluate friendships with people based off of one day of the year. I know plenty of people. It's like, if you my friend and my birthday, and if you not, you know, if you not there for my birthday, you're not a real friend. And I just think that is such bullshit. But I mean, maybe it's just me. I'm like, we are all grown. We all have jobs. We all have lives. And I think that's the most childish shit I've ever heard of.
See, but again, I think that's like a situational thing, though. Like, people always have those situations where it's a deal breaker, and I'm air quoting that, it's a deal breaker for them, but really they gonna realize it was dumb. But for some, it may take a long time to realize that. But I've known and had, like, you know, well, I won't say I've known friendships to end, or people that have go through rough patches with friendships, all due to like situational things like that. Like you said, like, it could be a birthday issue. It could be a communication issue. It could be like a, like you said, like you go into, like, even with, for instance, going back to Insecure, was going like back to having a kid thing. Like, you could lose friends, like all situations like that. So again, but I think it's all like situational as far as like how people lose friendships. And like, I don't think it's like a common thing, but like a generic thing. Like, for some people, just birthdays are just, I guess, their thing. And if it's their thing, well, it was nice knowing you.
And no, that's how I feel. And I think it's really interesting because, I mean, like my friends.
I love you.
Exactly. And I don't think that the way that someone's able to be there physically or not for your birthday is indicative of their love for you or the friendship. Never. But I think a lot of people see it that way. And I think it's so fucking childish. Like, I really think it's extremely childish. And like, my friends all know that I feel this way about birthdays. And I just think that it's ridiculous to know how many people really, really take it to that magnitude. Like, again, the world does not stop because it's your birthday. And I really want, you know, I want grown people to understand that it's really important to me. But I love that you brought up the insecure thing, because my real topic is on friendships and how do you know when the friendship or is ending? When do you decide that, you know, maybe a friendship, much like a relationship or any kind of situation, connection that you have in life, when do you know that it's a relationship or a friendship that it's no longer worth salvaging? Because I know you struggle with this
question.
I'm asking you because I know you struggle with this.
I won't say I struggle with it.
No, I will. I will. I will. You do. But go ahead.
Well, I said I won't. Well, I said what I said. And that is, they all think I struggle with it. But however, with the issue, I feel like there just comes a point where you have to look about. Well, think about your happiness first. And again, I've always been one to do that. So I feel like, you know, you can voice your opinion on it. Now, once you voice your opinion, that's, well, to the party said, it's on that part to them for decide whether or not they're going to make their change. Now, again, if they, whether they do or don't make a change, they know there's going to be a reaction to that. If they make that change, they know that they're still going to have a good friend beside them. Now, if they don't make that change, they know they're going to lose out on a good friend. So if they choose to, you know, remain the same, hey, there's never been bonds lost or whatever. But, you know, that friend's going to have to do what they're going to have to do to better themselves since you were becoming toxic. And again, they're going to have to understand that, you know, it's not that I'm leaving you on some bullshit. It's just because I'm trying to better me, and I want you to understand how you're acting right now is not helping me better me. And like if you're a true friend, you have to only, all you can do is respect that and be like, well, okay, that's cool. Again, no bad blood, but you keep doing you over there, and I'm gonna do me over here. Like, I ain't gonna ever speak nothing ill against you. I'm always want the best for you, but you're gonna always have to. But again, at the end of the day, you got to realize, this is what he wants to better himself as a friend. I can, you know, let him have their space to do that. And if we ever, okay. If we ever grow to the point where we can come back and still be friends, I will always be open for that.
See, that's the difference, I think, with you and I, is that the trying to come back together thing. And like, I personally don't feel as though every relationship or friendship is meant to be mended.
You ain't good at spotting out the bullshit. I'm good at spotting out the bullshit.
Please, do you really want to go there?
We can.
We can, because we can. I have clearly spotted out bullshit in some of your friendships that I want to adhere to.
We also have said as well over the weekend, you are just a snap. I'm strategic. You don't have that in your game plan yet.
I don't have to be strategic because I'm transparent and I'm authentic.
But your transparency cuts off your ultimate plan. You just go out there and just poke the balloon, let it burst. I want to see the balloon shrivel out air.
Listen, I don't have time for that, okay?
Well,
because the world is moving. You
do your things, I do my thing.
Okay, that's interesting, though. I really thought it was a good topic because I know that, like, we're in that age where I just feel like life is a revolving door, and I feel like people are constantly in and out, you know? And I think that oftentimes we hold on to friendships, relationships, connections with people longer than we should. I feel as though sometimes we learn lessons from the people that we're meant to learn, and we still try to hold on to it. So I'm at a place now where I am very, very, like, you know, I'm very okay with losing people and like cutting people off. And I don't know if that's good or bad, because I have really long-lasting friendships. I'm also, mm-hmm. I've been a huge relationship person. Like, I've been in a long-term relationship before, and I have a lot of friends from a long, like, 10-plus year friendships.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's that I'm not good at relationships. I feel as though I'm good at them. However, I am at a place in life now where I don't care to mend relationships that are not no longer, like, if they're, like, I don't know. I think I've put a lot of effort in the past into, like, holding relationships together, friendships, all that.
Yeah.
And, like, my effort now, it's very, very minimal. Like, it's been
so plenty of friends I've lost over months. So do you not believe in second chances is what it sounds like to me?
That's not the case. I feel like I've...
But it sounds like... Well, I guess... You just don't believe in us. Well, you're in the phase of now, shame on me. Well, fool me once, shame on... me, fool me twice, shame on you, that kind of phase.
So to a certain extent, I think I've had more patience in the past for friends and communicating things through. And I'm excellent at communicating, actually. Like, it's one of the things I pride myself on. So I'm always open to communicating and talking about things. But I'm way less patient these days when it comes to especially adults, like grown-ass people. And I feel as though sometimes I get people want to... understand that, like, from someone else's point of view and want to be there through that person's growth. I'm just not at that place. I think there's the difference. Like, I can easily do it if I wanted to, but I'm at the point now where I don't want, no longer want to be the casualty of someone else's, like, growth or whatever they're going through. Yeah. I kind of don't have time for use a little more patience, but I don't want to.
But again, that's why I said, like, I'm going to always be the person, like I said, I can always walk away from you. Because, again, I'm not going to ever let you mess up what I got going on. As, again, I would never put my shit on you to let you to mess up what you got going on. So I would hope that wasn't be a mutual respect. But, however, if you can't mutually respect that, you have to at least respect the fact that if we were ever friends, that, you know, this ain't even about you or me having no issue. This is just about your ways right now are not, well, the friend that you are right now is not the friend that I want you to be to me right now. Though, again, I will admit I met you on this. Yes, I did. But, however, I would have hoped that we would have grown. And not saying that you haven't grown, but your growth is not where I'm trying to take my growth. And that's me being honest, baby. And
you gotta have honesty. To me, the biggest thing about friendships, I feel like in this phase in life, and especially coming into, like, adulthood, is that you have to be accepting of who I am and who I'm becoming.
Exactly.
And I think it's hard to hold on to friendships.
A lot of friendships, though.
Exactly. And I think it's a lot of times it's easier to connect with people new because they see you for who you are currently.
Yeah.
And not for who they know you to be. And that's my biggest thing. So I've had situations recently where there were friends that I had distanced myself from reach out to try to mend the relationship, and I was not down to do it. Not because I was being, like, an asshole or anything, but it's more so about, like, I feel as though everything happens for a reason, and I don't feel like every relationship is meant to be mended. There's no beef, and I don't think there has to be, but I honestly don't want to be your friend anymore. And it's not like I don't know if that sounds bad, but I don't. Like, I don't want to actually mend a relationship have a relationship with you.
But,
like,
see, and I'm gonna be petty.
That's like my ex.
How can you say that, but you want Lawrence to be back with Issa?
I didn't say I want him to be back with Issa. I said I like Lawrence.
Just kidding, girl.
Right. And I just said the same thing. Like, that's like me saying the ex. Like, a few of my exes would love to be back with me, but I just don't want
that. Oh, shit, which one?
You want me to call them out?
call them out.
All of them, if I'm being honest. Okay. But no, I don't feel like I want to go backwards, in whether that's in friendships and relationships, all of those things. I feel as though everything happens for a reason. And I do, you know, I'm not interested. And I'm honestly not interested in putting my energy into, you know.
But you don't ever have a feeling of that. I guess. This is also the reason part of why I have my faith still, but you don't ever just, like, have just a mustard seed of faith in people. And so, because, again, like I said, I know people go through things. I know people are not at the level of where, like, you know, mm-hmm. they need to be at times because they fall back into generational curses. Right. But however, when they do, you know, break that chain and, you know, they show growth again, not even just like a year's or two's worth of growth. No, the nigga has put in time and work, and you can definitely see the change in them, and you feel the change in them, and you're drawn to that change. I just don't feel like there's no way that you can just deny that energy. Because I feel like, again, that would be me to laugh in God's face and be like, oh, how I said, oh, I'm going to never see that man again, knowing that, well, he put us in this to see how we're toxic, but for us to grow. But then right. come back.
Right. So I love what you just like said. No, 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 no. Not to come back. I believe that you are your interaction with someone is to sometimes teach them a lesson and you a lesson. And then there's no need to go back from that. That's how I feel.
Hey, not always, though, but there will be a rare occasion.
See, I don't know if I believe it or not. I think I'll just decide at the time. But I think that if you want to use that logic, then I feel like you will be going back to all your old friends that you no longer agree.
Again, that's why I said, this is not for everybody is not going to get on track, girl. That's, so how, that's just reality.
So
everybody
anyone that you know from the past who has changed and wants to come back and have a relationship with you, you're open to it.
Again, if I see that you have put in work, and again, also through this time, my gut and my intuition has gotten wiser as well, baby. So just know, you're going to need to come right.
No, I think that this, I'll be like, I'm glad that you changed, and I hope girl. That changed.
I'm glad you changed.
No, I'm serious. Like, I'm glad you changed, and I hope this change
girl,
will
this
work
for you. This has always been me again.
Well, no, I'm talking about when you're talking about the person that changed and tries to come back into your life, I will say to them that I'm glad you changed, and I think that you have changed and got together for the next person, not me. I feel like that's like with the ex. Well, like, hey, again, I feel like eventually you're going to get together for your future bae, but that doesn't
again,
mean
it don't even
got to
be as a bae, but again, that's what I said.
Or a friend.
Like, you know, but again, I guess, and again, this is why I, you know, kind of, I guess, blindsided that you again the progressive will feel this way, you know, because again I would think that, you know, you see people's change, and again, as you said, like, you know, as you may develop this person back as a friend in your life, but again, as you said, remember, you know, with my friendship they have no limitations. So again, if you were again keep that person as a friend in your life, I feel like all my friends, I'm attracted to them in some sort of way. Just, again, not like in a physical way or a sexual way. But again, may attract to your knowledge, attracted to just your kindness to somebody. So again, you could be attracted to a person in that sort of way. But again, that may pull you in further in a way you never expected to, like, get your feelings back involved. And again, I feel like just because, again, we're human beings. We aren't that in control of our emotions that yet. We haven't come that far as a species.
Well, I have, and I'm joking. But no, I acknowledge emotion, definitely. However, I rarely make decisions based off of only emotion. I typically battle with logic and emotion. Like, I'm very expressive, like, verbally. I express myself when it comes to being the emotional part of me, but 99.9% of the times, my decisions are based off of logic, and I understand that, like, I'm not just going to end a friendship or a relationship of any sort over just me being emotional. Like, I'm all about accountability. I'm all about being able to empathize and understand even my own faults. So if I...
Okay,
I decided to end a friendship, it is for good reason. And I feel as though then I learned that lesson from this person. I don't know if I've had second chances. I've had friends I fallen out before and got back good. But I think eventually you just outgrow people. And a lot of the times it's not meant to be mended. I really don't think everything is meant to be mended. And I rarely find it. It's meant to be mended. I don't know. It just, like you said, it's situational. I've had friends I've mended things with. At this point, I'm not interested.
Well, let me ask you this. Off of us two, so how did you feel about Kelly and Tiffany? So how did you feel about their situation with the whole baby shower thing? Do you think that Kelly overreacted, or do you think she was fair in how she felt?
I think her feelings are valid. Let's be clear. We just talked about emotions. I understand you feeling and emotions playing a part. I get it. But as an adult, I feel as though she should understand that they are in two different places in life and that Tiffany is becoming a mother. She should have understood why she wanted the other girl to throw the baby shower because she actually has children and that Kelly didn't want to do it.
No, so long.
Okay, but as an adult, like I said, if I was in her shoes, I would understand not to take it. So first of all, I don't think everything is personal. I think that's the difference between me and maybe Kelly and a lot of people. I don't take things personal, and I understand that, like, okay, fine. Clearly, it's a fucking baby shower. Okay. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't feel the type of way that I didn't get to plan your baby shower.
Okay, so let me ask you like this, because again, I guess this is how I look at it from Kelly's point of view. So I'm gonna put you as, you know, Kelly, and I'm Tiffany. So say I'm pregnant. You're my best friend. I've known you for ages, years. But I become pregnant. We already know I'm distant with you guys because of my pregnancy, because you guys want to do your thing. So I discover my own female friends. However, during my pregnancy, my best friend asks me, and again, we don't know this, but I'm presuming first to, hey, do you need me to help you with the plan a baby shower? And I tell you no. Well, I tell you I got it.
I mean, yeah, I feel like I know what you're gonna what you're gonna say. Because this is what happened on the show before you give me this whole dissertation.
I want to put it in. I want to have you feel like again, it's you happening to you.
And but I get that. You could have literally just said, "Put me in Tiffany's shoes." And at the end of the day, Tiffany even said that.
I'm gonna break it down to you.
No. I feel like you think it's gonna change my answer, and it's not. I think that Kelly even said, "Well, I asked," and Tiffany said, "Well, I knew you weren't gonna do it anyways." And Kelly was like, "I mean, I wasn't, but I just asked." At the end of the day,
No. Kelly was referring. No, she was referring to Issa and Molly. That's why Tiffany said, that's why Kelly said, yeah, I know you would say that about these two bitches because they fucked up. But her bitch.
No, you need to watch it again. You need to go back and watch the show.
You need to watch it again.
I'm telling you, literally, she said, when I asked you to plan it, you said no. And she said, but I knew you weren't, like, you really wouldn't have done it anyway. You weren't serious. And Kelly said, yeah, I know. But I mean, still. Like, at the end of the day, she literally
said that, girl.
Oh my gosh. I'm sure, like I said, I think it was Kelly. We can go back and watch it. Kelly asked.
I'm just telling you, I just watched it while I was waiting on you. I was watching the girl.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just saying, look. Well, look. Let's look at it from your perspective and look at it from my perspective. So say Kelly did say, okay. If Kelly had said what you said, then okay. Then yeah. But
to me, just in general, I hate that when, like, again, I understand that there are certain, like, these unspoken of rules that I guess people subscribe to when it comes to friendship. Well, yes, it is, because, like, even we can go back to, like, the birthday thing I was just talking about.
Because, again, I feel like, at least in my perspective, I feel like for Kelly, it was more of a shot, like, you feel that me as your friend, I don't know what's best for you anymore. And again, not saying that, you know, that like people should be worried about, but again, this is a entitled feeling for Kelly to feel. I'm saying we have to acknowledge that.
Right. Again, and entitlement is something I want you to say again and acknowledge, because maybe it's me, and this is my own personal thing, I cannot stand people with a sense of entitlement. And I think that sometimes people in your life, i.e. that be friends, again, whether it be relationships, they feel as though they are entitled to certain things.
That, though.
Yes, you can.
When you make, again, that goes back to the whole Issa thing, but I want to go to that. Issa and Nathan thing. But when you've given someone the power to feel these entitlements, you can't just take them back all of a sudden. You have to.
Well, what did I do to give you this power to feel entitled?
Girl, you were each other's best friend. You had encouraged her to say that she was your best friend. You had made her feel like you were her best friend.
So what is a best friend? What does that entail, though? Like, well, what does that entail? But, like, does that mean,
again,
as a best friend, I'm supposed to plan your baby shower? People. As a best friend, I'm supposed to plan your baby shower?
Again, if you're asking, and again, if you're asking as my best friend, I would think that, you know, Okay. Yes. Well, no, excuse me. I feel like I'm saying this all wrong, but you're not getting my...
Yeah, because I'm getting a headache.
I guess the thing for Kelly was the fact that you just basically kept her out the loop of anything. And then also the fact that you let those girls disrespect her at the party by sending her cupcakes.
Let them disrespect her.
Huh?
Let them disrespect her?
Yes, because she didn't even defend Kelly at all before her cupcakes. At least since you didn't let Kelly help you plan this, like, don't let her feel bad by making her cupcakes have to go somewhere else. That again I'm saying,
they're cupcakes. Oh my gosh.
Again. Kelly could have handled it more maturely, I will say.
Exactly. I think it's so stupid. It's not that serious.
But again, when she walked out, I can't blame her for that either. But again, you see, she felt some type of way about her walking out. But again, that was a reaction to what you had caused. So again,
I'm gonna say this. I think this will wrap up my whole thing, any other questions you may have. I don't play into the politics of social structure, whatever that means to a lot of people. This is the problem. And this is what goes back to the birthday thing. I feel as though a lot of us, again, that are grown as individuals, subscribe to a lot of this, well, a best friend is supposed to do this, and a friend is supposed to do that, and technically this is this, and this is that, and it's just so, I think it's harder for me with these relationships in my adulthood because I don't subscribe to those things. I personally feel as though I understand and I empathize with you being emotional or feeling a type of way about something, but 9 times out of 10, a lot of these things are never that serious enough to end an entire relationship because you're in your feelings emotionally. And if you were to sit down and think about these things logically and understand, okay, it's not that serious. I feel like that's what I'm talking about. A lot of friendship is like bullshit. The reason that they end a lot of friendships, when people sit like this, when people I know that are friends of mine or take me with friends get into bullshit like this, I withdraw because I feel as though it's not that serious. And I think it sounds childlike to me a lot of the time. But it's like, well, you my best friend, and you technically supposed to do this, and as a best friend, this just like, it's just like, mm-mm. Nigga, we are grown as fuck. Like, I don't know. I don't know what age this shit don't apply anymore. But to me, it does not apply. I feel as though a friendship, a connection, or anything that I have with someone is based off of us as two individuals. And I think that's what I'm talking about, the birthday thing, too. Like, a lot of people feel like, well, as a birthday, the golden rule is you're supposed to do whatever your friend want to do. Like, I don't know, who the fuck made that rule. And I don't know who subscribes to it. But that's not how I navigate my relationships or my friendships. And my friends all understand that, too. And I don't know. I'm just very lucky and blessed to find people that kind of understand that and understand me. But I literally just fell out with someone over something similar, over, the whole birthday shenanigans and them feeling some type of way. And it ultimately was just a very childish argument altogether, but they took it very serious. And they said at the end of the day that they don't think we're friends anymore. That doesn't mean a friend wouldn't do that. And that, and I understand that much like love, friendships, I think are subjective. And I think it's important to understand what people see a friend as, I guess.
You know what? I think we should leave them with this.
Okay.
Madea said it best. Some people in your lives are meant to be are meant to be leaves, like the branches on a tree. They meant to be here for a few minutes, a few hours, give you a little something to sprinkle off. Some people are meant to be branches in your life. They stay around for a long time, but with the seasons that change, that branch break on off too. But in your life, you're only gonna have a few roots that stay are rooted in that tree. So all them leaves and branches that you thought was gonna be around, baby, get used to only holding on to them roots. And find them roots. Cause many of y'all out here hanging on to branches and leaves and need to let them leaves and branches go and find you some good roots. Okay.
Where the hell did Medea say this at?
She didn't say all that. I added some extra. But you didn't watch Class Reunion? I think it was Class Reunion.
Is it a play or a movie?
No, it was a Class Reunion. It was a play. What was the
Oh, I'm gonna get. I'm mad I can think of it now. I know somebody out there knows.
So, how much of that was improvising?
50%
was. Okay, I'm like, hold on. Like, I mean, you listen, you sound spot on to me because you know I always refer to you as Medea. So, it's on brand. But also, I agree. I felt like that's what I was saying at the beginning of this argument, meaning that everything is not meant to be mended and some relationships are meant to fade. And you literally, I guess I should have put it in old Negro spiritual terms for you to understand. Because clearly you got it when Medea
said
it.
Girl. But
yeah, I was saying the same thing.
Roots can still be damaged and still come back to form. So that's why I also said that too. Look, let's not
regardless, my words. I'm all for whoever's meant to be there in the end will be there. And I don't think that you should focus so much on allowing people again to make you feel bad about being human. And also don't be around people who make you feel bad about putting yourself first. I think that's a huge thing. That's a huge thing with me with friendships. Like, I cannot have you trying to make me feel bad about putting myself, prioritizing myself and things that I need over, you know, I believe in compromise in all relationships. However, again, over bullshit like this, like, I just don't understand. Like, I don't get it. So if I don't have the money to go on your birthday trip and you're going to get mad at me because I'm not able to go because you're a friend and the real friend would have did it. And the real, it's like, listen.
But again, look, as I said, all that is situational though. Because us as people who don't think like that, I'm not going to say logical people. I'm just going to say people that don't think like that. To us, that would not be a situation where we would end a friendship over. Right. However, you know, there are those people out there, and again, not going to say it has anything to do with maturity or anything like that, because again, it just could be just how they were brought up. I don't know. But
conditioning.
Condition, yes. That's their condition of situational ships that they would cancel people off for. So look.
And that's why I started this by saying, it's a myth. Your parents lied to you. Okay? The world does not stop because it's your birthday.
You're not.
I feel like with this message, I'm going to save a lot of friendships, guys. Just think about it. Okay?
Well, let's hope you do. But on a lighter note, if you are done with demonizing the people out there, I'm going to get on a more lighter, fresh air, you know, because rarely do we talk about relationships on here because neither
really
are searching for one. But
I feel like we're always talking about relationships, but go ahead.
Well, not involving us. But I guess I was listening to a podcast a while back and they got me thinking about something because I feel like in this day and age, like with a lot of people making progressive moves in their relationships as far as like how they're structured, I feel like one thing is still very traditional as far as like how people look at providing for a spouse in relationships, because I feel like over here in our society, you know, oftentimes people relate to providing for someone in a manner of finances. And as I was listening to a podcast, they were talking about how, like, you know, in this day and modern age where women sometimes make more than men, and also with homosexual relationships out there, it's like, do we really look for people to, as providers in our relationships, to be finances, well, just to be on a financial level, or do we look more outside for someone in relationships, like, as a provider to be more nurturing, or are you looking for someone to, like, be, like, more of a supporter, like, for you? Like, how do you look at that topic?
Listen, I don't know. And I don't, like, honestly, I almost feel like relationships is something I'm so far, like, gone. I probably don't even know what the fuck I'm going to do when I start dating again.
Why would you say that, though?
Because I don't know anymore. Like, relationships are such an exhausting topic to me. I literally have been, people have been pretty much already, like, people have been telling me that I'm anti-relationship and anti-commitment. And that's literally like a new slander in my life. I didn't know that, but apparently that's how I'm perceived. And when it comes to relationships, I actually don't know what the fuck I'm doing at all.
Well, look, okay. Well, let me ask you it in this perspective then. When you come to a relationship, what do you feel like you can provide for your spouse outside of finances? And again, looking at it fictional or looking at it from the past as well, how do you think, like, if you're looking from a past perspective or looking at it from like a fictional perspective as far as like your future someone, what would you want from, well, I mean, how would you provide for them? Like I said, outside of finances.
See, I don't know, because I think that's why I don't like relationships, because I don't feel as though, like, I understand you're supposed to be
okay.
Give and take.
Well, let me give it to you from my perspective.
Okay, maybe that'll help.
If you're for me in a relationship, I would say what I provide for my spouse or what I've noticed, what I shine in being providing is like I provide in more of a nurturing way. Like, I'm there to be your supporter. I'm also there as like to pick you up when you fall type of person. I'm also there as more of a domestic person. And again, I know my friends opposed to that part because, again, I'm not too domestic for them. But I've been told by guys, like, you know, I come to the table, you know. I does this. But however, where I lack, though, I will side tangent. They say just the communication. I'll say when I'm there, I'm there. But when I leap out of their sight, it's like, what did he tell me? He said, out of sight, out of mind, I am. And like, I hate that it feels like that, but that's not the case. It just, again, my communication is piss poor. But I definitely am a good nurturer, though. I will say that. But however, as far as like what I would want from somebody as a provider for me, I would just want someone who definitely, I would say, challenges me / supports me. So someone that can like definitely push me to like achieving goals that I have for myself. Someone who, I guess, looks out for me as far as like just making sure I'm good as far as like how I'm carrying myself out here and stuff like that. Like, if that makes sense to you.
I guess it sounds like parental to me, but
not parental.
I need you to make sure that I'm on task. I need you to make sure that I'm out here looking like I need to be looking. I don't know. Listen, I'm anti-relationship, so don't ask me this shit. I am pro yourself. Wow. How about that? I am looking for all of that for myself. I'm looking to push myself. I'm looking to be completely whole in myself. I'm not looking to necessarily...
I feel like you're looking at this. See, this is where your logic gets too much in the way.
I know, and that's the problem. I'm telling you, I don't think... Listen, I saw this thing and said that people who stay up late are more likely to be single. And listen, I really think that that is my future. Like, I'm almost afraid now that I'm never going to be able to be in a normal relationship again because of my views. Like, honest to God.
Well, look, I don't think no one's against your views. You just have to also be open to their views as well. You can't just shut out their views.
I don't like none of the rhetoric that you're saying about, like, having to do all
but
of
again,
this in relationships.
But again, I also feel like you're looking at this from, like, a perspective as, like, oh, I need this from, like, this person. Like
yes, like, that's what like, it sounds like.
Like, I can't fulfill this by myself. No, I'm not, again, I'm already complete. This is where I'm coming from with this. Oh, so maybe I should put that in the beginning. I'm already coming to you as a complete person. This is why, again, this is why I said many people come to you. Because, again, if you feel like you're going to provide for somebody in a relationship as far as a financer, again, sir, I'm already complete nowadays.
So okay, so I got the answer.
Okay, well, give it to me.
All I want you to provide is the finances, and I provide everything else for myself.
Oh, wow.
But that sounds like a sugar daddy, so I don't know if it's an actual relationship.
You sound like a gold digger. She take your money when you're in it.
Oh, my God. I'm not, like, it's hard for me to put myself in that space, honestly, because I think that I'm all about,
But see, that is, I find so weird, because you just said you love romantic movies, girl.
I do.
How can you not at least picture this?
Because that shit is not reality. I just like it for recreational purposes. Like, I literally told my friend.
So love is not reality, is what you're saying now.
Love is reality. And I have a lot of love in my life. I love my family. I love my friends. I love my connections with people. But I find that, like, I just told my friend that we're going to start, like, dating each other recreationally. Like, I just want to do all the romantic bullshit together without, like, having it to, like, be so, like, serious. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. Like, I just like the shit. Like, I like roses. I don't want a phone date. Send me roses. Send me roses, Dejan. Send me roses. I'm going to send you my address.
Girl.
I think, like, I like shit like that.
I'm going to send you a bag of shit on your doorstep.
Listen, okay, so if I was gonna date, let me try to put myself there. What I would want to provide to someone is, like, just simply a partner in life. I would want to provide a sense of comfortability. I would want you to feel comfortable and transparent with me and open. Okay. And I would want you to feel...
Hey, look at you. You can do it, girl. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. But that's just, like, in everyone I connect with in life. Like, I want them to just feel comfortable and being themselves. I would expect from someone in a relationship from me is the very same thing. I would expect for you to just, like, want to coexist in a sense. Like, I'm not looking for you to make any, like, huge changes to me or me to make huge changes to you. If that comes naturally, then yes. But I think that relationships are oftentimes about what you need from another person. Like I need your affection. I need your love. I need your time. And it sounds kind of selfish to me. So I think that's why I'm like, well, if you are here because you just need this from me, it just makes me feel like, okay, like, you're only here because you need something from me. Like, I don't know. I don't like the expectation.
But they only need it because they want to be a part of you, though. I feel like that's not...
Well, I don't...
I feel like you just look at it so stern on, like, oh...
Yes.
Like they're trying to take something from you. No, they're not trying to take from you, but they recognize that you are exceptionally... well at providing that. And again, it's like out of your control. Like, that's just how you know how to come.
I don't want for someone to look for happiness in me. I think that's a huge fear of mine. Like, I don't want you to look for something in me that you feel like you can't live without, and for you to have this expectation of me to keep you happy. It sounds like a lot of pressure.
So random question then out of that. Sorry. And again, I feel like we're going on a random topic, but so if you ever in a dream world with that mindset that you just with again thinking about what you just said, in a dream world where you got married and let's just so happen to say you passed away before your spouse, would you you be the type of person who would want your spouse to move on, or would you be the person that would want your spouse to just
fuck did this come from?
Well, no, because again, this is a proper question. I know a lot of people, like, when their spouses die, like, they feel bad about moving on because, again, they feel guilty. Like, but again, you know, some spouses, you know, don't want their, again, I would think, don't want their spouses to move on and be happy. And again, so would. Why are you laughing? It's a serious question.
Okay, sorry.
Because it's okay. True.
Look, was that the question?
Look, yes. That was the question.
I would want my spouse to move on if I died. But I'm also the type, I would want my spouse to move on if I no longer fulfill them. Like, if I'm not there to do it physically anyways, hell yeah, you should move on. But there are times in relationships where I feel like you should separate, and I would want my spouse, if I no longer fulfill them in that way, in a way that, or we're not fulfilling each other. I'm not, again, maybe this is the logic in me. I want everyone to be happy. And I remember, like, my that was long term, I literally ended it because we were not compatible, but we loved each other a lot. And I said, because we are not going to be able to coexist together without someone being unhappy by compromising something they really want, I feel as though you deserve to have exactly what you want out of life, and so do I. And if that's not together, then I'm fine with that. But I just feel as though that should be the case whether you're here or not. And yes, you should want the best for the other person. That's what the fuck I'm talking about, relationships. Well, like, that's why I feel like they're selfish, because it's all about what you want that person to be for you and not solely what you want for that person even outside of yourself. And, like, that's why I have a fucked up view of dating, because no one understands that.
See, I don't see relationships like that, but I guess that's your story.
I see. You just want to itemize someone.
No, I don't. Again, reasons why I enjoy being single, because I'm just truly happy with being by me, baby. If I go tomorrow, I will have lived the best life by myself. But however, if someone that comes along that we just out here both living our best life, and we just gonna live our best lives together as well, just because again, we just enjoy each other that much that, hey, we just gonna do it together, then yes, I gladly open and welcome that. And again, but however, I can still acknowledge in that, bitch, we don't need each other, but we living here together. I can still in that, still say, I can still acknowledge in you that, you know, I love how you are just a great provider and such for me. Because but again, that's just me recognizing that I see where you excel. Because again, that also like is like a love language, if you so call it.
Well, yeah, I guess I admire people for different things. It's not oftentimes what they
admiration
provide for me, though.
See, if I
yeah, I like I admire certain qualities in people, but it's not always about like specifically like what they provide for me. It could be certain qualities I find admirable in you as a person, and one of them would probably be someone who's transparent and someone who is very, very open-minded and someone who is like not judgmental and just like and someone who's not controlling, clearly. And I am the same way. Well, I'm perfectly fine with being single. If I happen to meet someone that's so amazing where I'm like, oh my gosh, like I just want to take this walk in life with them, then I'm willing to do that too. But however, what I'm not here for is all the like all the rules that you're gonna just try to bring and implement out of fucking nowhere without us discussing them. And you just wanna say like, you know, relationship means this, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. That is what,
you know,
that's the shit that I'm not here for.
In the midst of this, as you're saying this again, sorry for another cutoff, but you just sound so much like Christian Grey. I don't know why, girl.
I love Christian Grey. Oh my gosh. Like, Christian
like him, reading his rules to, what's her name?
Anastasia.
Yes. I'm like, is he reading me his rule book, girl, just now? Because that's what it sounds like. He reading the rule book.
I like Christian Grey. 50 Shades is one of my favorite series. I like him because he was very logical. And he was very, very intelligent. But
he fell in love with someone that was very emotional.
Right. So maybe there's hope for me. But I think that, speaking of which,
emotional girls, come find Zakora, please.
Not emotional. I don't like people that are. I'm emotional. I don't like people. I like people that are emotional and are expressive. I don't like people who act off of emotion, if that makes sense. That's what it is. So if you don't know how to, if you don't know how to be accountable for your emotions,
that's a very fine line. Again, I hope you know that because those two things don't hardly fall too far from one another. So whoever,
what do you mean?
You said home. So what'd you say you don't want?
I don't want someone who acts up with emotion.
But you want someone who what?
Is emotional. Like, expressive.
Again, those two things don't stray far from each other. So, if you find one that, again, that's, again, not saying it's not out there, but that's
a real, I mean, that's me.
That's a real
I'm an emotional one. Person. I'm an emotional person. I just don't act up with emotion. So there has to be other people that are like that.
They out
right
in a lost world, hidden amongst the galaxies.
Oh my gosh! Well, listen, a relationship is the last thing is on my mind personally, and I think that like that's it's actually I feel like though like beginning of this year I was really good at like kind of dissecting like relationships and what I want and what I don't want. Now I feel like the mere thought of relationship is so far fetched for me. I don't know why, but I feel like my dating experience and trying to date has made me push further away from even like what the fuck I'm gonna end up with. I really feel like I'm just in a single because no one seems to get like, you know, my ideals when it comes to dating.
But again, hey, time is patient. But time is money. Look,
I'm looking for a
time
it
will come.
I want someone who's like a hippie, who's like very, very like earthy and super into energy and connection and not into social constructs, and that are like all about just like experiencing each other and not restricting one another. So that's what I'm looking for. If you're someone that is super liberal in your views and just like really open-minded and really open to connecting without restriction, that's what I'm looking for. I love that.
Okay, and I'm looking for a Confederate flag waving, pickup truck riding. Just kidding.
Oh my God. Speaking of which, so with relationships though, we've talked before about how we're both super open to exploring polyamory and open relationships. So I'm very experimental with my dating life. So I really think that when I do decide to date again, I'm going to explore one of those two. And I actually got my first like official offer for a polyamorous relationship recently.
Offer, yes.
I know. I feel like, ooh, I feel accomplished, you know?
Your goals have been scratched off.
Yeah, like it's something I mark up my checklist. Well, actually being offered versus actually doing it is one thing. So I want to eventually explore it. And I'm really excited about it. I would love to like spill on it. Well, like
journal it out for me so I can know what's going on. So I guess I can take notes on what to expect from when I try one.
Yes, it's going to be so bomb. I think it'll be fun. Oh, or it could be a complete disaster. Who knows?
Look, but hey, it could be either or.
It can't be worse than any monogamous relationship I've been in. So, look, I mean, we'll see.
Let's hope and pray not. Look, ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that.
I say go for a look. You know, I'm down for the polyamorous relationship. I would definitely love to try it out myself one day. So, look, if the option is available, I say fill both parties out. Just make sure y'all have y'all, you know, y'all's set rules, I guess, or whatever guidelines y'all have.
Oh, see, I don't want any guidelines. I thought it was supposed to be more like free-spirited.
But, okay. Well, y'all can keep it. Well, look, it's y'all's situationship. I would do
a situationship.
Well, excuse me, relationship.
No, I like situationship. I like how it sounds better. You know, someone told me that they hate situationships, and I literally was like, why? I feel like situationships are like the best. Literally. Because there's not a lot of restriction. There's not like a lot of like defining, and there's not like a lot of just like, it's literally just, it's more like about an energy. Situationships, like, you don't really know what's going on, but you know that you like it.
I don't know about that one now. Just that I'd rather just we gonna be associates, friends.
But you already know how I feel about labels, so maybe that's why. Situationship doesn't seem like a label. It seems like an undefined label. I think that's why I like it.
Girl, that sounds like undeclared major in college. You eventually find
which is how I started off actually. So girl, I'm right on brand.
Find one. They all do. Or create your own program. Look,
that's what I'm doing.
Undeclared.
I'm creating my own dating program. Kind of like the episode of Black Mirror. I don't know if you watched it, but it's on dating. You should watch it if you haven't.
No, I watched the 3%. I didn't watch Black Mirror. I haven't watched that yet.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one. But no, guys, just be explorative and stop, like, because I know I'm not the only one that has recognized that dating in this traditional format is not for me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's what it is. I think I've now realized that it's not for me. So I have to find other ways to do it that is, like, more for me.
Well, look, explore and find what works for you, child.
You should do the same. Because I swear you think that monogamy and traditionalism works for you, but you still never single as
well. But again, as I said, I am happily single, girl.
I don't think so.
I'm not out here wanting for a man.
I feel like every time we're always talking about relationships, clearly you're tap dancing around an issue. Because I don't even care to talk about this bullshit. Because at the end of the day, it's not a factor.
Well, look, right now, these are things that we go on in people's lives. So I say, why not? Let's talk about it. Look.
Listen. I want to know how many people that listen to our podcast are single versus in relationships. Because I feel like if you're in relationships and you listen to this, you're fucked. Because not only that, I actually had someone tell me
I won't say that.
You're fucked, okay? Every time
stick strong to your roots. If you love your man, you love your man. Don't be jaded by what we say.
One of our listeners had a testimony, and they told me that basically they ended their relationship based off of some of the topics that we were talking about, some of the things that were said on the podcast.
Well, to me, it just sounds like some people, again, no shade to this person, but again, it just sounds like you checking into your intuition, finally. Because, you know, sometimes people turn down the volume on their intuition when they knew it from the get-go. So
right.
I think we just hit a turn up your intuition. So for those who, so again, we didn't turn you away. You already knew what it was. We just hit a turn that intuition back on up, baby. That's all we
okay. Sure. I think that's awesome. I think that basically they said it's because they realized that their relationship was kind of holding them back in a sense, and they were not able to fully explore themselves.
I think we out here in their relationships. No, that's not what we here for. No. Because that's what it sounds like you saying, girl.
I did not say that. I'm just saying this is what he was told to me. And I think it's a good reason to end the relationship. So that's why I'm like, dope. I'm all like, I know you're pro relationship, but I'm pro self. Right. So I feel as though if your relationship is holding you back personally as a person, then, and you need to do more self work on yourself, more self introspective work, I'm all for that. Because I feel like that's going to be way more important than any relationship and way more fulfilling. Relationships really aren't that fulfilling anymore. One of my friends told me that relationships really aren't that fulfilling. One of my friends said that when I was talking about, I think I ended up like tweeting something about like how relationships aren't really fulfilling. I think like we thought they were going to be when we were younger. And he was like, I agree. He was like, I don't even care about relationships because it's like, they aren't as fulfilling. I think that we think that they will be, but based off like the realities when we're in them, we realize that this actually ain't the fucking fairy tale shit that we thought it was supposed to be.
But
and it's like, not as fulfilling.
Relationships also, like, fully conscious of what they said. Because I feel like many people just step into relationships based off of social fine.
Right.
Or off of first instinct. Well, again, if you truly want to be in a relationship with somebody, it can't be off of, like, you know, I'm looking at you from your outside. Inside. And again, that's what is very lacking.
Your inside.
Yeah, well, not what she said type of inside, but, you know.
Well, what I'm saying is this, though. We are taught dating and relationship culture very early on as children. We start dating in fucking middle school, all those things. Whereas, like, you can't blame people for just wanting this thing that's been drilled into us from a very young age. It's like, I get it. However, I don't think they're as fulfilling as we thought that they will be. And I think even people who are in relationships, long-term relationships, marriages, are not as fulfilled as they think that they were going to be when they thought about it early on. I personally don't think so. Someone tried to say that their grandma and grandpa, something about like that. And I was like, there's plenty of people who stayed married for a long time and were not fulfilled as individuals. And they were just happy or they were there for family reasons or whatever. And were completely unhappy. And that's not what my story will be. That's all.
But again, but we still have to recognize that that's some people's story, not all.
I feel like it's most people's.
That's because you're a negative Nancy.
I think most of y'all are unhappy. These niggas stressing y'all out and y'all just want somebody. That's what I think.
No, they just out here got too many long-eyed niggas. That's all that is. They got too many niggas out here wanting the next thing they see. And again, don't get me wrong. That's
my gosh.
If you want next thing you see, well, then why are you with she? Get out of bed with she and go hop in that the third and this and us bed. Don't stay in her bed. Look, be honest.
Well, no, you should really watch the episode on Netflix of what's the show you talked about? You talked about the clitoris one though.
Oh yeah.
What's it called?
Explained.
Explained. I watched the one on monogamy, and I think that that was one like that was really good. And I think that, you know, there's something to be said. Like, people should understand where monogamy originated and like that it's actually not natural. I hate that sound like an advocate for like cheating. I almost feel like this why I come off. It's like, I'm like, no, nah, don't be faithful, don't be monogamous. Yeah. But I mean, I'm not
that's
against
coming off people. That's what
I'm not against monogamy at all. I'm just for whatever works for you. That's all. Whatever it works for you. I don't think that you have to limit yourself to that.
That is true, but again, just don't go making nobody else look crazy in the process. I would say that.
See, and if you're just single, you don't have to worry about making no one else look crazy at all.
But it ain't about single. Because again, like you said, with the polyamory thing, I feel like there's going to be a time where you, like you say, because like, you know, ain't about like, you know, me just stepping out on you. Just like, you know, I want to go. If you had this open communication with your partners, at least, but I want to do something with somebody else. Like if you guys just had that open communication, like,
nope. Okay, well, I tried it.
I don't mind that.
Then, it like, didn't work.
You don't know that because, well, You don't know that, and many others don't know that because they haven't tried that as an
option. I have.
Oh, well then,
maybe it backfired.
Okay, then that wasn't right for that person. You need to find that person that is going to say, okay, look, hell, we know a couple like that, and look how far I got them, baby.
I'm weak. Well, you know what? Look, maybe now I'll find. Goals. I mean, it is goals. I just want someone super open-minded. That's it. Until then, but again, I don't want to talk about relationships anymore, okay?
At their core, though.
I thought I just talked about relationships a few episodes ago where I said I'm sick of people always talking about relationships. Didn't we do that? And I was like, it's like 95% of my timeline.
Well, look, let's just say everybody focus on your friendship goals, okay?
Focus on yourself. Your
friendships are going to lead you. Well, yes. But again, I said that for the girls in the back who already knew we need to focus on ourselves first. But... For those who didn't know that, yes, baby, focus on you first. But then
please. Focus on
the friendships that you have. Because, again, as the course said, I do like where you do come from about how, you know, keep your friendships barriers open. Because, again, you just never know with many friendships where those ends could lead to. Again, they could end. They could turn into lifelong friendships. They could become your spouse, you never know. But again, keep your.
I think that I'm going to end up marrying like a friend. I think that's what will be my story.
See, I don't think it's going to be my story, but you know, I can see it being some of my friends' stories.
Yeah, because I feel like my friends are bomb as fuck.
You know, we do what we can.
Well, some of them. And I think that.
For those that are, I feel bad for them.
It's amazing how many friends I have and don't know about it. So many great friends I have and don't know about it. But no, that's it. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about? This was like, this is interesting. I feel like this was good to be back, you know? I feel like, you know, I missed you.
All this tape. We got a lot to go off of, girl.
I know. Editing's going to be a bitch.
It's okay, well. Fun.
Oh my gosh. Well, anyways, I am glad to have you guys listening to us again. And I'm glad that we are back. Hopefully, we'll be consistent.
Yes, I'm going to try to be off Thursdays now, people, so we can be consistent with you guys. Look, I want to be so bad.
It's DeJean's fault.
Like myself. I'll be honest. Look.
It's DeJean's fault.
I'll be at work or sleep. Work or sleep.
And if you don't get it together, you can email me at totallyuncensored@gmail.com if you're interested in being a co-host.
And in your mailbox.
Okay, well, this has been Bolivia Uncensored. Make sure you follow us on social media. Me, Zakori Uncensored, that's Z-K-O-R-I Uncensored, and DeJean at Spicy_Mustard. All right, make sure you listen to us on both SoundCloud and Spotify, and we should be available on Apple Podcasts very soon, so I'm really excited about that. Guys,
why
thanks for listening.
Don't y'all get the fuck out?
Yes, and we're going to end on that note. Bye.